Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing all things InsurTech, and to do that, we're kindly joined by the CEO of InsurTech company Quotel in Simon Ball. Simon, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
No, it's great to be here. Just one thing to mention to you. The name of the company is Quotel, but it's amazing how many people actually get it wrong. But we all think it's simple, but there we are. So Quotel's the name of the company.
One of the reasons, indeed, Simon, that we're speaking today is because you are currently on Seeders, and we'll speak a little bit more about your crowdfunding campaign in the podcast. You set out with a target of £300,000, and due to quite a high level of investor demand, you've actually exceeded that target. So congratulations on that. Last time I checked when I was preparing for this, you were at just over £400,000. So obviously a strong interest there from investors in the crowdfunding campaign. But that's something that we can discuss a little bit more in the podcast. Yeah. But Simon, before we get into things, would you be able to give us a brief introduction to yourself and how you came about to be the CEO of Quotel?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, sure. That's an interesting... Try not to make it too long-winded and boring. So my background actually is in enterprise corporate sales. Used to work for large software houses, California, Silicon Valley based software houses. And then got into essentially e-commerce, nothing to do with insurance at this stage. Became commercial director of a company called Salmon, who subsequently got bought by Wunderman Thompson. And a very large organization, but we were focused on e-commerce in the very early days of e-commerce, worked with a lot of dot-com companies. To me, e-commerce was really exciting because that's where technology was touched by consumers and users. That was great fun. I got involved in some early stage insurance activities and was just absolutely fascinated by the fact that insurance was, I don't know, 10, 15 years behind e-commerce for retail. And so got into what at the time was not called InsurTech, by the way, that's a recent phrase, but got involved in the InsurTech side, founded a company called CoverZones, went on to become CEO of PowerPlace, which was a marketplace platform for insurance brokers. And so out of that, the ideas emerged around Quotel and the fact that true e-commerce for consumer self-service around insurance just really didn't exist. So that's the background, really. Relative newcomer to insurance, but from a technology background.
So indeed, as you touched on there, a very strong background in technology. I mean, how does that flow into Quotel, Simon? Would you be able to just give us an outline of what Quotel do and obviously make a little bit of a link there between the technology side of things and how that's become an insurance business?
Yeah, well, think e-commerce, something we do every day, Jonathan. We all use Amazon, we all use eBay, we all use e-commerce environments and platforms to buy stuff from retailers these days. Quotel is about being the specialist provider, InsurTech provider that does e-commerce and e-trading for insurance. So it's quite a natural extension and quite a natural flow. So we're an InsurTech software house, but actually we're much more than that. And what we focus on is working with large enterprises that aren't necessarily already in insurance, aren't necessarily regulated, and we basically help them enter the insurance market on a cross-sell, upsell basis.
That's very interesting. I mean, to give some context, Simon, would you be able to give us an idea of the type of business that would be using your services?
Yeah, well, we work both with regulated entities, helping them digitize their business, but the main and fastest growing part of our business is working with large enterprises. It's interesting we're doing this today, Jonathan, because we just announced this morning a strategic 5-year partnership to provide the insurance services for WH Smith, a name I'm certain that you're aware of.
Indeed, yes.
And a brand that actually 70% of the UK population buy from at some stage during the year. So they've not entered into insurance before in their 235-year history, and they're moving into insurance as a cross-sell to their customers, as an upsell, as an extra channel, an extra value add. So what a perfect example of the type of organization we work with, and great to be able to announce it today. We're thrilled about working with those guys and very pleased that they've entrusted us to establish, work with them to establish their insurance service.
Fantastic. So I just want to have a sort of discussion now quickly, Simon, around what that would actually look like for a potential consumer in terms of, you know, what the interaction would be with a company like WH Smith, and then how that would then fit into to what Quote will do and what services you'll be provided at what point, and then how that customer will then interact with the technology that you provide.
Ah, great question. Yeah. We all think about WH Smith, and it's a great example to use, actually. WH Smith have got 1,100, I think, something like that, high street or retail outlets in the UK. A lot of massive presence in transport and distribution hubs. But they've also got a massive online presence, and that's been growing at an incredible rate over the last 12, 18 months, as the digital channels for many omni-channel retailers because of the pandemic. So think about it in pretty simple terms. You go to WH Smith's website. You see sections and tabs on there to buy insurance policies. You then go through the user journey, just like you would for selecting other products, and identify, let's say, pet insurance or travel insurance or home insurance. You then go through a very slick and integrated user experience and user journey that white labels our technology to all intents and purposes be WH Smith. And obviously at that point, then you can go into a selection and a purchase of an insurance product using debit, credit cards or finance options. The system and the capability then automatically distributes documentation to you and handles all the things like renewals and all those sorts of things. So it's completely embedded insurance, embedded into existing user channels and user journeys. And that's extremely important for people like WH Smith and all of our customers, really. They want to be able to provide a seamless additional service to customers, very often integrated with offers for other products that you might purchase from them. So think about it from a user's point of view. You use their digital channels to buy great office supplies, stationery and stuff like that. That's another one example of our customers with Office Depot, with their Viking brand. But you then also can now add in or buy insurance from them. And what we're finding is massive take up and interest in this, because retailers are, omnichannel retailers are very, very keen to expand their offerings. They're very keen to provide additional products and services to their customers. You know, they're out there in the marketplace competing with the likes of the Amazons of this world. And what they want to do is to have more touch points, more service offerings and more products available to their customers. So the demand, particularly since the pandemic, for digital services has gone up. And what we're doing is giving them an insurance service in a box, if you will. So think about that user journey I've just described. It sounds pretty simple, Jonathan, but actually delivering it isn't, because what you need in there is you need access to insurance products. You need the ability to provide them through a regulated environment and a controlled environment. So what we provide beneath the surface, if I can describe it that way, is a massive amount of technology, infrastructure, know-how, network and partnership capability, including things like access to insurance products and also access to people to provide regulatory and advisory services. So what we do sounds pretty simple, but below the surface, it's pretty complex and pretty challenging to deliver.
So, I mean, you've actually moved on quite nicely there, Simon, into the next bit of what I was going to look at. Of course, you mentioned there the customer perspective, but now sort of looking at your clients, the WH Smiths, I mean, the services that you offer them specifically, now this is obviously something that probably that the customer wouldn't be visible to, but this is obviously the service that you're offering to the companies. What are the main areas within your agreements with companies such as WH Smith in terms of technology that you provide them, regulatory umbrellas and such like. What does that sort of look like as a product and offering to the enterprises?
Yeah, it's a great question. So at the heart of it is our e-trading platform, and we afford access and usage of that e-trading platform to our customers, seamlessly embedded and integrated into their existing digital experiences. We use API technology for doing that. But actually, that's a key part of it. Of course it is. But you can't sell insurance unless you're regulated. And you can't sell insurance unless you've got access to the insurance products. And all of these are very complex and very proprietary areas. So we have a thing called our ecosystem. Clearly, at the heart of our ecosystem is our tech platform. But we then afford access to a regulatory umbrella for providing insurance. We access insurance markets through insurance partners and networks, fulfillment services, transaction services. So there's at least, in some cases, a dozen moving parts to the ecosystem. And what we're essentially doing here is we're actually taking away the barriers to entry. So think about it. If you're a retailer looking to expand, or you're, and by the way, when I say retailer, I mean people that are serving both consumers, you and I, but also SMEs, Office Depot with their Viking brand is another customer of ours, and they've got a significant number of SMEs in the UK that want to buy insurance digitally and online. So what we do is we provide them with the service in a box, and we bring all these things together for them and take away the barriers to entry. Because if you want to do this for yourself as a company, think about it. You've got to recruit some domain experts. You've then got to forge relationships with insurers. You've got to go and get regulatory processes and services put in place. You're looking at multi-millions of pounds of investment over an elongated period of time. We take all that away. We can get a brand up and running from agreement through to trading within months rather than years. And we've taken away the capital expenditure, human recruitment costs, and significant amounts of risk. So it's perhaps not too surprising that we've got a healthy rollout list and also a healthy pipeline for our services going forward.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Just before we go on, and there's something here that I'd like to sort of discuss around what else is out there in the market. But just before we do that, would you be able to just confirm what types of insurance are accessible through your platform?
Just about any, to be perfectly honest with you. So if we look at WH Smith, we're launching a whole raft and range of products with them, starting with travel. I mentioned earlier on that they are omnipresent, Jonathan. Think about it. When you go to the airport, we all go to WH Smith, don't we?
Yes.
Now, the fulfillment's online, but in terms of the brand association with travel, so we're launching with a travel product with Smiths. We're then moving into other products like home and pet. So these are what we call in the insurance world personal lines products. But we've also got a range of SME products or specialist products that you might embed in for things like product guarantee and things like that. So the bottom line is our systems are agnostic, really. We can provide a whole raft and range of insurance schemes and products. The technology is that flexible and that powerful. And in many cases, we're also going to be launching soon with a organization that is has a significant customer base of plumbing and heating engineers, tradesmen, if you will. And our ability to build specialist, what we call in the insurance industry, schemes for specific customers, along with our partners, of course, is a core competence. So candidly, don't want it to sound glib, but we can produce any products and deploy any products. Put it this way, there's not been an insurance product so far that we've not been able to accommodate on our platform.
So a very broad-reaching suite of products there available to your partners, which is very interesting.
Yep.
That actually moves on quite nicely now, Simon, into the market. Where do you sit within the market, and what does the market for businesses like Quoto look like at the moment? I mean, is it something that's fairly new? Is there many players out there? What does it look like for investors that are potentially looking at you and and trying to get an idea of where you sit within your peers?
Yeah, really, again, really good questions. So the first thing I'm going to say is the market's wide open. So for digital e-trading, there's a tremendous opportunity. And in terms of alternative brands, non-regulated brands, if you will, such as retailers and utilities and affinity groups coming into the UK market, UK market's about 51 billion on an annual premium basis. About 5% that only is provided by non-traditional insurance brands, if you like. So big market. But what we've done in terms of our model is we've done something different. We've actually gone out to support those that aren't already in the insurance industry. So there's lots of insurance technology providers out there, but they're essentially trying to support the insurance industry digitize itself. We've taken a different approach and we're focused on empowering those that aren't already in insurance, the disruptors, the new entrants, if you like. So a couple of points about that. So, you know, insurance technology platforms and digital technology platforms, there's plenty out there. Most of them are what we call B2B, business to business. They don't really handle the consumer self-service aspects of the marketplace. The other point to make there, by the way, is the concept of alternative brands, whilst it's relatively untapped, selling insurance is relatively new. Our model is different, so that we give them a much greater degree of control. Our biggest competitor actually is organisations doing it for themselves, building that capability for themselves, and there are considerable barriers to entry to doing that. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And it sets it up very nicely, actually, for moving on to the next point I had here about what does it look like in terms of take up for your services so far. You've of course mentioned WH Smith, everybody will be aware of, and that's obviously quite a significant brand to be working with. But how does it look like, or what does it look like for Quoto elsewhere in terms of the number of people that you're working with, in terms of companies, number of companies that you're working with, and the sort of pipeline for new partnerships that you have?
Yeah. So in relative terms, got to understand that it's you know, early days for us. Early days as in fulfilled opportunity. I think from an investment point of view, a lot of ticks already, a lot of aspects of our business that are validated and de-risked. So acquiring new clients such as Office Depot, such as WH Smith, tick that box. And we've got another two or three, I can't name the names of them, but they will be household names that will be rolling out over the next 6 months, insurance propositions for their customers. We already have, by the way, I think something like 26 customers that we've worked with. Many of them are already in the insurance industry, and we'll continue to work with those in the insurance industry that want to digitize their businesses. That's something that the insurance industry is going to have to do, or it's going to find itself being further disrupted and challenged by new entrants. So we do work. We've got 26 odd customers at the moment. We've got Office Depot just rolled out. We've got via Viking. We've got WH Smith. So it's aiming to be, I think, the first product's going to go live in November time. And then we've got three further brands following up behind that. Pipeline looks pretty good. We're aiming to bring on board about five new clients on an annual basis. Now, that might not sound many, but you've got to bear in mind that these are major five-year contracts for us. And the annual run rate revenue per customer for us can be anywhere up to and beyond about £500,000 run rate revenue per annum. So, so the pipeline's looking healthy and strong. That said, could we bring on more? Yes, we could, you know, but we are starting to evolve as a company towards the scale-up phase of our evolution, really. So I don't like the phrase startup because we've been at it for quite a few years now, and we've got some pretty darn good customers. We've got great technology. We've got some fantastic guys, and we've done a great job with the technology and its extensibility and its flexibility. So I don't like the phrase startup, to be honest with you, Jonathan. We're early stage still. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make to you. And this, you know, the sky is the limit for us, but we've got to balance. And this is something that I'm very mindful of, waffling on a little bit here. So do dive in. I'm very keen to balance quality as well as quantity. You know, take on brands like WH Smith and Office Depot, and you know, wing it as far as implementing those clients. You've got to absolutely put them at the center of what you do. So that's one of the reasons why we're going out to raise further capital to make sure that our standards don't drop from where at the high bar that we've set for ourselves already.
Thank you. So, I mean, one of the points that I'd pick on there, which was quite interesting, is how you would classify yourselves, you know, startup or not, but very much I'd view a company such as yourself as a growth company. And the way that investors would be looking at a company like yourself is looking at your growth rates, particularly from a revenue perspective. Now, we've gone through the types of clients that you work with, Simon. We've looked at the services that you offer. But I think now, just to give some further details really on your model in terms of revenue and how what we've discussed so far fits together in terms of generating revenue for Quotal. So a lot of people will be sort of familiar with white label arrangements and similar partnerships ones, but there's obviously a little bit more to what you do. So would you be able to give us some details on that?
Yeah, I think I'm pleased you mentioned that, because it's an extremely valid and important point. There are a number of ways we make revenue, and let me explain those and then talk a little bit more about them in detail. We make revenue from consulting services, and some organizations commission us to do consulting work to help them with marketing services. We've just taken on a partnership with a great insurtech company themselves called MCE, one of the biggest bike insurers in the UK, and providing them with a load of services, range of services around digital advice, basically consulting services. We also make money out of, and this is where the main part of our revenue stream will come, we make money out of a revenue share model, a transaction-based revenue share model with our customers. So this is really important, because in insurance, when you sell policies, there are commissions associated with it, and there are fees that we get from insurers for policy distribution and work transfer. So we get revenue from the insurers on a per transaction basis, and we do revenue share models with our customers out of the fees and commissions that are applicable to each policy. Now, why is this really important? Because it enables us to grow the business exponentially. And if you look at our revenue curve, it's an exponential curve over the next 5 years, because essentially it's heavily oriented towards systems and transactions, Jonathan. So we're not having to grow the business on the basis of trebling the staff to double and treble the revenue. The other aspect of insurance, which is a wonderful benefit for us, is that you get those transaction fees, you get those insurance transaction fees and those revenue share fees each time a policy is sold at new policy, but you also enjoy the benefit of those incomes at renewal. So in some cases, renewal of an insurance policy, renewal rates can be something around 80% and above. So you're still getting that transaction benefit 5 years into the model, and you can start to build up sizable books of business and sizable revenue streams. And that's one of the real, real secret exciting things about our company, really. We'll see over the next 5 years our income from services reduce as a percentage, and we'll see our income from systems related, transaction related, revenue share related go up and up and up and become the vast majority. We also make a bit of money out of premium finance and sharing the uptick on premium finance with our partners and with our customers. But essentially, it's all about revenue share. We could sell, and people do sometimes want to license our technology, and that's fine. We'll have those conversations with people, but the real sweet spot for us is sharing in the revenue success of the customer.
I mean, that's what you mentioned there is particularly interesting for myself with the renewal side of things, and I think that's something that investors will be quite interested with as well, in terms of that does provide the opportunity for reoccurring revenue going forward as you grow. So that's quite an interesting
point. It's massively important, Jonathan. You know, these are 5-year relationships. Think about it. If you've got 8 out of every 10 customer coming back and buying next year, you can start to see the revenue uptick. This is one of the reasons why it's extremely attractive to the likes of Smith and the likes of Office Depot and our other customers, because you're able to enjoy a extended relationship with those customers and extended revenue stream.
Indeed, and that is a particularly interesting revenue model there for Quotal. So, just before we go into a couple more points, yeah. Simon, in terms of information about this, this can be found, of course, on the Cedars platform, can't it, which details in more detail the revenue model, how it works, and obviously a little bit more about the company. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, there's a number of ways if you're interested in engaging with us in the context of the round that we're in right now. We've got information on our website. So if you go to quotal.com, you'll find information there. Actually, you can get in touch with me via that environment, but we're also, as you say, been working very closely with Cedars. It's been a great experience for us. So if you go to cedars.com/Quotal, there'll be information there. And bear in mind, I think for getting access to all the detailed information, you have to register and go through their qualification criteria as an investor. I can't imagine that any of your community won't be either already engaged with Cedars or meet the criteria. But there are two ways of getting more information. And yeah, we have an information memorandum, Jonathan, and in there, you know, all of this, what hopefully is relevant detail, is covered, including our business model and our strategy for revenue growth over the next 5 years.
Fantastic. Thank you. So let's now, there's a couple more points here, but I think let's now look specifically, Simon, at the Cedars round, at the capital raising round that you're doing. As I said at the beginning, you've already met your target on Cedars, so it's an overfunding. I believe there's a couple of weeks left or so for people to be involved. But one of the things that investors are always very keen to know when companies are undertaking capital raising campaigns is where those funds are going to be allocated on a successful campaign. So what does that look like for Quotal? When you raise your funds, where are you going to be allocating the cash to meet your long-term goals?
Yeah, again, great question. I think we've touched on it a couple of times, haven't we, really? But it's about fueling growth. So it's about making sure that the pipeline is full. As I mentioned earlier on, we've got a pretty good pipeline, but I'm greedy, so I want more. And so we want to be putting in place marketing programs and campaigns to find bigger and, you know, blue chip customers to work with. You know, we've been kind of below the radar for the last year or two whilst we've perfected this model. It's all about noise now, as far as we're concerned, Jonathan. So we're going to put a decent amount of money into raising our profile within that blue chip target audience we want to communicate with. The second point that I mentioned earlier on is resources. We need resources to make sure we maintain the quality, additional resources that is, to make sure we backfill effectively and maintain the quality of implementation that we've now become known for. There's no way I'm going to compromise the quality of service that we deliver to customers because we're busy. That's not going to happen. And from a software house point of view, we have to continue to develop the platform. We're on what we call release 4 now, which is API based, responsive based, extremely flexible capability. And in that respect, I always say, you know, as a software house, if you stop investing in R&D, you're already dead. It's just the timing of it that's the variable. So we will continue to develop the platform. E-commerce never sleeps. Standards are being set higher and higher by organizations like the Amazons of this world. So we have to maintain development of the platform and improvements in the platform. So that's where the funds are going to go into those key areas over the next 6 to 9 months.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Simon. So to finish off now, this is something that investors always like to hear, and it's really a bit of a summary about where you've been and where you're going. So would you be able to give us a breakdown of what your biggest milestones have been to date and what you would say your key targets are going to be over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, well, I think we've touched upon, gosh, haven't I banged on about our milestones? Extraordinarily proud of the things that we've done with bringing on blue chip clients. Look, you know, as a small business, you know, I didn't use the word startup there, as a small growing business, yeah. Early stage business, think about how hard it is to get extraordinarily established brands with tremendous reputation. WH Smith's reputation spans 235 years. They don't engage with companies like us overnight without serious due diligence and analysis of your capabilities and your credibility. So in that respect, I'm so proud of our ability to break through that glass ceiling, if you like, as an early stage company, to the point where you can engage in long-term meaningful partnerships with major corporations. And that's testament to the quality of the people, that's testament to the quality of the technology, and testament to the quality of the proposition. Another one I'm going to add in is partnerships. So we have cultivated a whole range of partnerships as part of our ecosystem. People like PCL Premium Credit Limited, people like Stripe for payment gateways and things like that. A whole raft and range of insurance partnerships in there with quality insurance vendors. One I've got to shout out is we've just done a strategic partnership with a major fast-growing corporation called Acrisure. Major in the US, starting to really scale up here in the UK and internationally. And they help us tremendously with things like regulatory services and access to insurance markets. So I'm proud of the customers and the achievements that we've had. And I'm very proud of the partnerships that we've established. But that's actually just giving us a strong platform. Tell you what, from here, it's scale, maintaining quality, but it's scale, adding more of these blue chip names on, adding to the ecosystem. And the I word as well, Jonathan, we're going to go international. We get approaches about our proposition all the time. And if you think about the UK in e-commerce terms generally, and e-commerce specifically around insurance, though there's still room to go, is even more advanced than international territories and jurisdictions. You know, surprisingly enough, the US, so you might think, are more advanced on insurance distribution than the UK. It's not. It's still some way behind us in certain areas. So the Far East, Australasia, we've had conversations and approaches from people. We'll probably adopt a partnership model for that. But the opportunity for what we're doing in terms of digitizing insurance and extending the reach of brands that can't currently get into insurance is what it's all about. So, gee whiz, the sky's the limit. And, you know, next, that said, calm down. The next 6 to 9 months is about making sure these relationships that we have are well established and are successful and productive for both us, for the partner network and the customers. And then we'll build from there. We'll probably be looking to raise further capital in the course of 2022 to further scale and extend the proposition. But it's the sky's the limit, and the international, our boundaries, our horizons are not limited by the UK.
Thank you very much, Simon. Sounds very exciting. And you've touched on, and thank you for doing that, your milestones there and some significant ones for a company, whether you're a growth company, whether you're a startup, whatever the classification may be. Some very significant milestones there.
Yeah, well, for me, a startup is somebody that's got an idea that's not yet validated. Yeah, that's not us.
Well, definitely from what we've discussed today, there's a level of a strong level of validation there.
Absolutely.
And that's something the investors should be aware of. So just as a note before we finish off, and Simon did discuss there, do check out Cedars for more information about the crowdfunding campaign, as well as the Quotal website. And there will be a link to both of those in the notes to this podcast. So check those out.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see those. So, Simon, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I don't know how long that's gone, but it seemed to go very, very quickly. Appreciate the questions, Jonathan.
No, yes, very in-depth. And just to note, anybody that's subscribed to the UK Investor Magazine newsletter will be receiving some further information about the crowdfunding campaign in the next week or so. So do, if you're not already, sign up to the UK Investor Magazine newsletter list and you'll be able to find some more details then. Simon, once more, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Jonathan. Take care.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.